the UK wants to rethink its relationship with the European Union. From APM in Los Angeles, I'm Noelle King, and for David Brancaccio. EU leaders are meeting in Latvia today with the leaders of former Soviet countries, including Ukraine. Worries over Russian aggression are likely to be on the top of the agenda, but newly re-elected British Prime Minister David Cameron has an agenda of his own. Theo Leggett is a business reporter for our partners, the BBC. He's following the story. Hello, Theo.
Hi there, Noelle.
So David Cameron is asking for EU reforms. What does he want specifically?
One of David Cameron's commitments before the election was that if he won it, he would announce a referendum on EU membership. He's going to do that. It has to take place within the next 2 years. Now, prior to that referendum, he's also committed to going and seeing whether he can renegotiate Britain's membership of the EU and gain concessions. If he gets those reforms, he can then commit to a referendum saying, yes, we'll stay in the EU, but under these revised terms. If he doesn't get them, then it's altogether possible he could look in a different direction during the referendum campaign.
What do you think? Is he likely to get them?
That is a very difficult question to answer. But if the price is too high, then they would contemplate a British exit. So now we're getting into the early stages of a face-off, if you like. Unquestionably, Brussels, the European Union, will give some ground. The question is how much they're willing to give David Cameron in order to allow him to stay. They don't want to make too many concessions because then other countries could say, hey, we want to have our cake and eat it as well. We want to renegotiate our own membership. And the whole thing would become too difficult to handle. So it's going to be a question of what David Cameron can get, which at the same time, leaders in the rest of the European Union can say, well, we've given a few little concessions to Britain, but not very much.
Okay, the early stages of a face-off. Theo Leggett is a business reporter for our partners, the BBC. Thanks so much, Theo.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. In London, the FT is up about 0.3%. U.S. futures are also up this morning. Last year's deadly Ebola outbreak devastated many lives in West Africa. It also hit economies hard. And so a firm in San Francisco has an idea. Insurance that would help protect governments and industry against the cost of deadly pandemics. From our health desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has more.
When the Ebola outbreak began in West Africa, countries lacked money for the basics, like public health workers and the ability to quarantine. So Dr. Richard Wilcox says they waited as governments and philanthropists passed the hat.
The cost of having to wait for funds to be mobilized abroad is so expensive to their economy, to the vulnerable populations that they protect.
Wilcox runs the African Risk Capacity, a company that sells insurance to African countries and is owned by the governmental body, the African Union. With the goal of getting cash fast in emergencies, the group has announced it will sell pandemic policies starting in 2017. Aon insurance consultant Dr. Giselle Norris says she suspects businesses are interested too.
There are certainly industries that are at higher risk for this. So if you think about healthcare or hospitality or aviation,
price will determine whether there's a market, says Norris. In Africa, the more a government invests in its public health infrastructure, the lower its premiums. Perhaps a model for industry as well. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Late yesterday, a grand jury in Baltimore indicted six police officers in the death of Freddie Gray, who died while in police custody. Protests that erupted after Gray's death sparked a conversation about poverty and unemployment in Baltimore's inner-city neighborhoods. There have been attempts to address the problem, including a big federal effort in the mid-90s. Baltimore was one of six U.S. cities that the Clinton administration designated as empowerment zone cities. It got $100 million in federal funds and tax breaks. The idea was to create jobs and train people for work. I traveled there earlier this month to look at the economic legacy. I met a 58-year-old nurse's assistant named Phyllis Young. 11 years ago, the federal funds provided her with a tuition grant to get certified as a nurse's assistant. She still remembers her graduation.
Oh, my God. I was just so happy and praising God and thanking the Lord for my dream to come true. I'm a people person, and I've always had jobs consoling people. I used to be a dental assistant for an oral surgeon. So, you know, people are nervous, like, when they come to the dentist. And, you know, I used to hold their hand and talk to them, and they used to send me flowers for appreciation.
She says the empowerment zone helped her toward a middle-class lifestyle. At the time, she was making $8 an hour, but she wanted to make $12. Today, she makes $17 an hour at Augsburg Lutheran, a nursing home.
It helped me to achieve the goals that I wanted to achieve. Like I said, I've been at my place of employment now for 15 years. That's a really good place to work for because they do incentive. Like this week is Nurses Week, and tomorrow we're having a big breakfast from 7:30 to 9.
So, a job she loves with some perks. The downside is that it's only part-time on the weekends, so she works a second full-time job that doesn't pay as much. She says that's just how the economy works today.
Most people have to work two jobs just to survive because your bills go up, but your paychecks stay the same.
And that's something she says she wants young people in Baltimore to understand. She was lucky to be part of that Federal Empowerment Zone program, but nothing has been easy. And she says if you're willing to work...
You can always go to McDonald's. It may not be what you want, but you can start from the bottom and work your way up. You understand? At least it's a paycheck. Better than having $0. You can have a half a loaf of bread. It's better than no bread at all.
She's a nurse's assistant from Baltimore. Last up, the Wall Street Journal reports that Uber is seeking a $1 billion credit line from banks. That's worth noting because it could signal the ride-sharing company is preparing to launch an IPO. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Tobin Lowe. In Los Angeles, I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.